All right, today is Vav Metzia Tes Zion, but we are at the bottom of Vav Metzia Tes Vav Amid Beis 15b. Vav Minei Shmuel Meriav, Shmuel asked from Rav, Chazar Ulukachem Yibal Marishonim. When the Gazlan goes after stealing it and buys the land from the buyer, I guess. No.
After the robber sold the stolen land, he returned and purchased it from its original, in other words, the legitimate owner.
The original owner, not the buyer.
Right.
Okay. Mahu, what's the halacha? Wow, what would be the problem here? Amrale, ma machar lo rishon nesheni kol zchushet
aliyada. The question it's asking is, can the robber now seize the land from the, remember, illegitimate purchaser?
Right.
Just as the original owner could have done.
The guy who stole it from the robber.
No one stole
no,
from
no
a robber.
No one stole it from a robber. Yeah. There's an original owner, a robber.
Thief, and then the buyer from the robber.
Right.
And which then, is an illegitimate sale.
Right.
So and then the robber goes ahead goes to and the, makes a legitimate purchase
from the original,
from the original owner. So can oh. now the robber go to this guy.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah, go to that last guy who illegitimately bought land and say, hey, get out of here. This is mine now.
Like the original owner could
have done. The original owner could have done.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the question is can bygones be bygones and just...
I guess that's one way
of saying... mulligan on the theft of the property.
Basically,
or,
he's doing the right thing and he's just trying to...
I mean, he is doing the right thing, but... or alternatively, halakhically, what we're saying is, does the third guy, the buyer, have any rights to the property at all? Because if he doesn't have any rights to the property, why wouldn't he be able to make the purchase?
It depends whether he...
Although
can.
He should be able to then... But
let's
if
see.
if the robber had not sold it, the original guy could go to this illegitimate buyer and take the land back, but then the illegitimate buyer could sue the robber.
Okay, that could be.
So, I mean, really what's going on here is the robber is using that sale to fund the purchase in the first place, and are we going to allow that to happen? We're going to allow this poor sap at the bottom of the chain to take that hit. You know, basically the robber gets the benefit of having stolen the land.
Maybe. What is Rav saying here? So he's saying, Ma machar lo rishon l'sheni. What did the rishon, in this case we're saying the rishon is the gazlan, the thief, give to the buyer? Kol zchushet aliyado. So when the gazlan accepts the money, he gives that guy everything for that land.
He gives him. Surely
and if he
the
were
former
to go,
sold the latter in advance every right that he, the former, that is the robber, might subsequently acquire. When the robber sold the field, he made over to the buyer any right that he, the robber, might subsequently acquire in regard to the field. And therefore, the robber has no right to claim the field from the purpose person who bought it.
I think what that means is, if he buys it from the original owner, what that retroactively means is that his sale was legitimate to the lokeach.
Yes.
Right? As opposed to saying everything's undone and now the thief gets to keep the field, we're saying everything is on hold until that purchase that buyer made is legitimated. I don't know if that's a word, either one of them.
Definitely not the latter.
Legitimated? No? Legitimized, maybe. Legitimatized.
This is really that. Well recognized in American law, especially at least if you give
really?
A warranty after acquired title of the seller accrues to the buyer.
Okay. So then my time, what's the reason? That's kind of interesting. What's the reason he just gave a reason? But Marazutra Amar Nichale Delo Nikriye Gazlana. So why is it, okay, why is that we assume that the Gazlan gave over all rights, all potential rights, to the buyer when he sold it to him? And now we're not going to look at it as if he wants it for himself, because the benefit he gets is being not called a Gazlan. Now he legitimately sold this field. He's no longer considered a thief that sold the field. Rav Ashi Amar, Nichle Daleku Behemnuse. He wants to establish his trustworthiness again. So that's how we look at it. So, my binai, what's the difference between Mar Zitra and Rav Ashi, whether or not he's called a Gazlan or whether or not he's trustworthy? Ik binai demis lokeach. Let's say the buyer died. Man damar nichle delolikri Gazlan, the one who says it's good because he doesn't want to be called a Gazlan. Hamisle, he died.
When did he die?
We just said if he died. If the lokeach dies, are we saying now nobody's going to call him a Gazlan anyway?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I guess the word didn't get out. So apparently, according to that, it wouldn't go to the yorshin of that guy. But according to the one that says it's to establish his trustworthiness, Bahade bane nami nichle delekum bemnuse. It's also worthwhile to establish that trustworthiness with the kids of the buyer. Okay, I'm not really sure. I guess.
And it's apparently a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos.
Yeah.
As to exactly when this guy died. Did he die before the robber bought the land from the original owner, or did he die after the robber bought the land from the original owner?
Okay, that makes it more complicated to me. But I don't know why that would be.
That's what the art scroll says. Yeah. Rashi's harder to understand because Rashi holds
that it was
the
after.
Purchaser died afterwards, in which case you would think like the
word. It's already done.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you could do at that point. Sof karle b'nei lokeach gazlana. But yeah, the children are still going to call him a gazlan. Okay, so I'm glad we threw out those distinctions. Ella ika b'nayu demis gazlan. The question is if the gazlan died. He's dead. So what does he care if he's called a Gazlan? Okay, interesting. What's the next one, though? Why? What? Why is it Nichle Delekum Behem Nusei?
So the Gemara is going to throw that one out the same way.
I know, but well, differently, but yeah. So Karlev Negum Ne Gazlana, regardless, they're still going to call him, you know, the son of the thief. So the Gazlan thing is also still relevant. Elik Benayu Diyava B'matana. If he had originally given it not as a mecher but as a matana, Man Damar Nichalei Delekim Behem Nusei. According to the, we're switching order here. According to the opinion that says he wants to establish his trustworthiness, Matana Nami Nichalei Delekim Behem Nusei. He wants to establish that trustworthiness. I didn't just give you a stolen gift. I didn't steal anything from you. I gave it to you as a gift. You didn't have it before. And you didn't have to give anything up to get it. So I guess he wouldn't be called a Gazlan. I guess that's an interesting nafkamina. I guess relative to the person that gets the field, he's not a Gazlan. Okay. What are we talking about here? Pshita, it's obvious that if before he bought the field, the Gazlan afterwards, Zabna, he then sold it to somebody else. Orsa, which means that he bequeathed it to his children after he died. Vyavimatana, or if he gave it as a gift.
And then bought it from the original owner.
So he stole it, gave it to somebody else, and then bought it. As opposed to... Well, how's it different from what we said?
Stole it and then subsequently sold it to another person, which was our prior case, or bequeathed it to his heirs.
Right.
Or that's gave it as a present,
okay.
And then bought it from the original owner.
Okay, so if that's the case, lav la'okma kame lokeach kabai.
We must assume that he, in buying the field, he did not, in buying the field, intend to secure it for the first buyer.
I think there's a fourth person here. Basically, he steals the field, gives it to somebody else, or sells it to somebody,
yes,
then somehow gives it to somebody else?
Yes, yes.
Did he steal it twice?
If the robber sold the field a second time to another person or disposed of it in some other way after selling it to the first person, it's obvious that his subsequent action, buying the field from the original owner, was not due to a desire to secure the field for the first buyer and must have been prompted by a different motive.
He didn't mean, as opposed to what Rav was saying before, you know, that it goes to the buyer to establish his credibility again. So that can't be what's going on here, because he gave it to somebody else. I don't know how he gave it to somebody else. Usually if you sell it to somebody, that person takes the field. I don't know how he would give it to somebody else, but okay.
Well, the same way he stole it.
Right, I guess so. However, he did that one.
He's stolen it a second time.
Yeah, Naflale Birusha, right? That's what I was saying before. He stole it twice. Naflale Birusha. And similarly, if he
inherited it after he sold it,
as opposed to bought it back after he sold it. So Yerusha Mimelahi.
The note here is very, if the person from whom the field was taken away unlawfully died and the robber proved to be his heir, that's the note I have here.
He what?
I stole the field from Leonard.
Yeah.
Then Leonard died and I'm Leonard's heir.
So you stole it from your own dad or somebody?
From your own dad.
Okay. So, but the point is that he didn't do much in order to get that field. He just got it from somebody else's death,
as opposed to buying it,
like we said before. So then we are not as confident in the fact that he bought it to reestablish his credibility. Right? It wasn't Yorish it for that. So maybe the original owner can still come and claim it back, just like our Stam case, the default case. So Gabe Ihu, Gave Ihu, if he had collected it bechovo as a creditor, so chazinan, I isle ara achrisi, if he has a different land that he could have collected, v'amar, hi, but you know, I want this one, maybe he wants that one specifically in order to establish his credibility again with the buyer that he sold it to. V'lo, and that actually I can imagine happening, because he's like, look, I might be getting this field anyway. I'm going to take it and sell it to somebody. So then maybe it is for the sake of that buyer. V'lo, but if he does not have another field he could have collected with, zuzehu dubai iparue, it has nothing necessary. It's not necessarily the case that he's doing it for the sake of the buyer. He could just be doing it because that's the only, you know, it's the only brera. It's the only thing he can do. So yahava nihale b'matana. That's rich. The one who he had stolen from gives it to him as a gift, almost like a machalach type of thing. Okay, you can have it. You know, clearly it's worth more to you than it is to me. You can have the field from me that you stole. So then, pligaba, Rav Acha, Ravina. That's fascinating. Why is this even a machlokas? Why is this not the same as a Yerusha case? Chad Amar Matana Kirusha. It's the same as Yerusha. To Hamimela, he didn't do anything in order to show that he was trying to establish Kadavili. Chad Amar Matana Kamecher. Some say it's like a sale. Dilo Tatarach Va'aretzi Kamei. Lo Hava Yayiv Le Matana.
In other words, there's no such thing as a free gift. Basically,
he must have done something to butter him up, and the buttering it up was, we assume, all for the sake of getting the land, which is established credibility. Okay, interesting. He was doing that in order to establish his credibility to the buyer. Until when do we assume that he's trying to butter him up for the sake of reestablishing his credibility? Maybe he's just trying to be friendly, I don't know. After some reason, Amr of Huna, this is fascinating, it's machlokas. Amr of Huna, ad shas hamadas bedin. Hamad bedin, once they go to court and they realize that he's actually a thief, so then he's no longer going to butter him up. So if he's buttering him up after that, so then we know that it's not going to help, and maybe we're not going to assume that he's trying to get it for the buyer for his credibility. Chai bar, chia bar rav Amar, ad de mata adrachta lide. until they give him an adrafta, which is basically the verdict of the court case, as opposed to going to court. Rav Papa Amar ad demas chalan yomei achrazta, until we sort of announce that he's a gazlan.
Until the announcement of the public sale of the robber's property begins, i.e., when property belonging to the robber has been discovered and the court has begun to advertise its public sale for the purpose of compensating the person to whom the robber sold the field unlawfully, the period of advertising was usually extended over 30 days.
I don't know how that guy gets it, but okay.
So we're saying the first stage is the court rules that it's stolen and the robber has to return it, or it has to be returned to the original owner. And then the second stage is once the court becomes convinced that he's not going to do it, and then now the court
tries to get it himself?
Something like that.
Which is 90 days after the court case, apparently.
And then once they now find it, then there's going to be a public auction, which they announce for 30 days before
the... I don't really understand what the public auction is for.
It says here that the public auction is to compensate the person to whom the robber sold the field unlawfully. So this isn't necessarily the stolen field that's being auctioned. It's other...
Other property
of the robber.
Because the stolen field's going to go back...
Oh, because the robber owes the buyer.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're talking about. Okay. So Maaske Rami Bar Chama Michti Halakach Mai Kana V'Hai La'ara O'Hai Ara. How did the buyer buy the field? V'Hai Shtara Hai Shtara Chaspa V'Almahu. The shtar is meaningless. It's the fake shtar. Amalei Rava Tehei B'Ma'amino. To have him, you know, that the gazlan, that the kona, the buyer, says to the gazlan, I believe you. And he's relying on the fact that he worked, he put in effort to get him that field. Gazlan put work into the field and gave it to him. That means that it was his and he can give it? I don't know. I have no idea what that means. How does this answer the question? How did he acquire the field? From the fact that the kona, the buyer, didn't say anything. And he relied on the fact that the gazlan had worked to get in the field, and that gave it to him somehow. I really don't know what that means.
Explains that it is as if the robber originally told the purchaser that the ownership of the land will be conveyed to him when he purchases it from the owner. Since the purchaser was confident that the seller would convey the property to him, the transaction is valid even though the seller did not yet own the property at the time of the sale.
He's basically saying, whatever I do, in all situations, I'll make sure that this is really yours, type of thing. So, Meisir, Rav Sheshes, Mashi Irash, Me'aba Machra Lecha, Mashi Tal Bitsudasi Machra Lecha, Lo Amar Klum. Mashi Irash, Me'aba Hayom Machra Lecha, Mashi Tal Bitsudasi Hayom Machra Lecha, Devar Kayamin. If something happens in the future, it's no good. Something, he says, anything that happens today, that is good. So, why is it different? Amar Mar Yavarchama, Hagavra Vahatiyuvta. Here's the person who's the person and his response. I guess he's saying because he relied on, I don't know. Amrav Gavra Kachazina, Tiyuv to look Kachazina. I see the person, I don't see the answer. They're different. Hacha Samcha Date. In the case of the buyer, he's relying on the seller's trustworthiness or legitimacy. But in the case of the inheritor, it's not really up to him. it's up to whatever he gets, or whenever the father dies. In the case of the field, he worked, he did some effort, he tried to get it to him, so that he's not called a gazlan. But hacha, oh, that's what we're asking. We're asking when the gazlan's trying to make it better, the guy's trying to make it right, and he rebuys the field. So how, according to that, for Rav, how does that magically go to the buyer that he had already bought it for beforehand? So we're saying, oh, it happens retroactively because the original sale was done with that in mind, that he was going to make it legitimate. So it's done retroactively. I don't know if it's technically seen that way because it didn't change hands. But so here we're saying that the reason why he went through all of that is to not be called a gazlan, and therefore the buyer, he sort of includes that within all the possible situations that he has to legitimize the sale. But hachalo samchadate, in that case, he would not be so reliant on the person, because what did he do? He just waited for his dad to die.
Well, and he might never have inherited the field.
Right, could have given somebody else, to his brother.
Or his dad could have
sold it before he died, yeah.
Before he died.
So shalchua kameh lekameh derabi abba barzava amral hu zu ein etzrich lefnim. This does not require people in the yeshiva. Amarava zutrich lifnim lifnim v'lifnai lifnim. We need people that are, you know, I guess talmid chachamim to answer your question. Hacha samchate v'hach lo samchate. We need the two cases are different. Have lived in Pamdisa v'osveya. This case happened in Pamdisa.
There was a case in Pamdisa where they ruled like Rav.
And they said back, "Ma macharishon l'sheni." How did he get it to the other person? So ve'osve, and I guess they said this Yerusha case, ve'osve with that case. Amar lehu Rav Yosef zu ein etzrich lifnim. Yeah, that's obvious, or we don't know how to answer it, or we don't know how to explain it. That's obvious, but even the yeshiva can't. Amar le Rabbi etzrich lifnim. Okay, so now we're going to try to answer it again. We just brought a story to say that we still don't know the answer. Okay. Maishna Resha, Maishna Seif. What's the difference between the two parts? One part says anything that in the future will be inherited from my father is sold to you. Anything that in the future comes up in my trap will be sold to you. That doesn't work. But if you say today, so then it does work. So Mashna Seifa.
Even though we're still talking about in the future, right? We're talking about,
yeah, both are future.
Today. We're not
correct.
Talking about anything right. That I caught earlier.
Right, today. Right, right. Amrav Yochanan Seifa, Mashi Yosh Abba Mehaba Bahayom Mishim Kvod Aviv. The reason why it works is because he's doing it out of the honor of his father, who is a Goses.
Yes.
I guess we're basically, he's on in his last breaths. And that's why he says, you know, what he gives to me today, it's almost like it's basically going to happen today.
As the Bryce is discussing a case in which the father is near death and his son needs money for the burial expenses, since it would be dishonorable to his father to delay the burial.
Okay, good.
The sages instituted the son could sell the future inheritance in advance.
When he's a Goses.
When
a Goses. When
imminent, yeah.
Yeah. Umash etalim etzudasi ayom. What about that one? Mishum kidei chayav. Basically, he needs it today, and therefore we're more lenient about it.
He needs an advance on what he's going to catch today.
But that is different than the case of the buyer. So therefore, is this not a good proof?
No, it's trying to explain why if he specifies today. You
know, right, but why are we bringing that in even?
We're trying to explain the Braisa, the Reb Sheshes.
Just bring the Braisa, not to explain how Rav can use it or not use it?
Right. I think we're just trying to understand the Braisa.
Okay, so we're still up a creek without a paddle. We don't know if we need to explain it or not, but it was used. It was definitely used for the sake of explaining the Lokeach case, the Gazlan Lokeach case. I'm Rav Huna Marav. Omer l'chaveo saran shani l'kach l'ksheekachana k'nuyo l'chameachshav. The field that I will buy will be yours from now, retroactively, when I buy it. I don't know how that's possible. But that's kana. So it's kona. I'm not sure how me'achshav works. So the Rashba says, take the word me'achshav out of it. It's not his yet. How could he say from now? It's not his. I mean, he can say from whenever I get it, but he can't say from now. From now, it's not his yet. So that doesn't make any sense to me. Either way, Amar Rav, Mistabra Milsa Derav, Bisada Stam. That only works with a Stam field, meaning you don't actually specify which field.
Yeah, whatever field I buy is going to be yours.
Aval Bisada Zoo, but if it's this field, lo. Mi Yemar Dimizavin Lenele. I guess we assume that he will be able to buy some kind of field, but we don't necessarily assume he'll be able to buy one specific field, in which case you cannot necessarily be kona that. I don't know why we're not talking about Davar Shelo Bal Olam yet. I guess it's not Davar Shelo Bal Olam because it exists, but it's still a future asset. Okay.
I was wondering that too. I was hoping the Gemara was going to go there.
I don't know. V'ha'alokim. You know, basically, I swear, Amarav, I feel it beside the zoo, even if he specifies, Michti, Rav Kaman Amarav Shmate, when Rav said it, that it definitely works.
Even
beside the zoo. Amarav Shmate, Karebi Meir. Damar Adamak, the Davish Lobo. Oh, there you go. I have to keep reading sometimes. Damar Adamak, the Davish Lobo, Olam. That's going to Rebbe Meir that you could do in the future. Ditanya, Ha'omer Li'isha, Hiskachi Li Lachash Hiskayar. If you say to a woman, you know, betroth me after I convert, lachshi tiskayri, or after you convert, lachshi tishesh tachrer, after I am freed, lachshi tachri, after you're freed, lachshi emos ba'alech, after your husband, lachshi achlos lo yivamech, yivamech, after the chalitza of your yavam, lachshi tamos hachosech, or after your sister, meaning my wife, dies. These are some strange cases here. Ena mikdash, that all of those don't work because they're based on a future situation. I don't know why we didn't say that by the Gosias case either. But okay. Rivi Meir Omer Mekudeshes. So Rivi Meir says that still works. Vaha Isha Kisada Zudamya. And a woman is specified, is unique, just like a specific field. Vahamar Rivi Meir Mekudeshes, and he says it works. Okay. Amar Shmuel Moses Shtarach Nagabashuk. If a person...
Just don't tell that to your wife.
Yeah, right, exactly. Amar Shmuel, you'll never believe what I said today. Yeah. Amar Shmuel Amotzi Shtar Hakna Lashuk. If someone finds a Shtar Hakna, the Shtar Hakna was the sort of the general I owe you document, as opposed to like the loan which has a specified date.
It says here it's a deed of transfer.
Okay. Wait. Didn't we use this phrase already?
Yeah, we did.
So I thought that was for the lova that couldn't mess up the dates, couldn't forge the dates. I thought it was just basically, I'm going to pay it back no matter what, no matter when.
Unlike an ordinary document of indebtedness, which records an obligation that takes effect only if the debtor actually borrows, the document of acquisition states that the witness is acting on behalf of the creditor, got an agreement from the debtor that he's going to pay regardless of whether the loan actually takes
place. Right, right. I owe you no matter what. So then, yachzir lebalim, then you give it back to, if you find, you give it back to the creditor. Because if the whole concern is that, you know, we're worried that you made the loan document, but you never actually effectuated the loan, so that's not a problem with hashtar hakna, hashabi nafshay. Why are we talking about this? We already talked about it. V'imishim pirayon, and if we're worried that it's already paid off, lo chashin li pirayon, t'im isa li pari mekrich havakarle, he would have ripped it up. Amar of Nachman Abba, min safri, dayane mar Shmuel hava, he was one of the scribes in Mar Shmuel's based in, v'avina kvar shita kvar sheva.
Now his father was one of the scribes.
Oh, Abba min safri dayana de marshmul hava. And I was 6 or 7 years old when I noticed this. Udacharna tavu machrezei v'amri. And I remember they used to announce and say, Hanishtari de akna yasa.
6 or 7 year olds would understand this. They'd say, huh?
Rav Nachman could. Hanishtari akna yasa de mishtakhe b'shuka nehadrinil marayu. That someone who finds this star in the shuk should give it back.
Yeah, are we going to, though,
that's an interesting
any credibility to what this guy says? I remember when I was 6 years old, that's what they used to do.
I think we're not using this as the absolute proof or source of this halacha. We're saying basically, like, this is the halacha, and we have corroborating evidence that this is what we've actually done. Not that this is why we're doing it. So Amrav Amram, the reason why is because we're not worried about lo lava, or we're not worried about pirayon. Amrav Amram afanantanina. We also learn in the Mishnah that we'll see in a few pages. Komasa beistin hareza yachzir. Anything that's done in beistin can be brought back to the malva. Okay, that's an interesting statement. Alma lo chashin lepirayon. Therefore, we're not worried about being paid off. Amar le Rabbi Zeir masnisin b'shtar chaltasa. Our Mishnah is not referring to a loan. It's talking about
certificates of foreclosure.
Decrees of the court which confirm the editor.
Basically saying we can go chop his field or something. Via drachta, and also a star which is given to the malve that says that they could collect.
Okay. Seize them wherever they're found.
Okay, similar things then. Delav b'nei peroninu, they're not types of stars that you can claim were paid off. They're the types of stars that are sort of allowance, permission, permissive stars. Amarava v'hani lav b'nei peroninu v'hamri narada shuma, a document of assessment. Hadar, that goes back. Ad treisa yarchishata, until it can be brought back 12 months after the time of the shtar. Va'amra meimar ana min arda ana usvira li deshuma hadar l'olam. We say it goes back forever, which implies that maybe even a shtar chaltasa and adrachta, that they can basically be considered like paid off only for a certain amount of time. Because maybe it was after a while that the lova did pay it off, in which case the foreclosure document is null and void. El Amareva Hasam Hainu time of the reason over there when it comes to the shtar that you found, Chatas Vajrachta, the reason why you give it back is Damrinan Ihuhu de Afsidan Afshe de Beidna de Parei Baile Lemikri Shtare. Once it's paid off, he should have made sure to rip up that shtar. He had to go find it. He had to know that it existed also. Or, alternatively, which would probably be the easier way to do it, just write another star to say it was paid off. Because technically the land doesn't have to give back the creditor does not have to give back the land. Okay. And it's only because doing the right thing that the rabbi said to give it back. Therefore, it was as if it was already sold. And then he just has to write a document of sale. I don't really know how that worked. He loaned him the land. When it comes to a loan document, why aren't we worried about it being paid off? If it was paid off, he should have ripped it up. You could say that at the time of the payment, the malva didn't give it to him. He just ran away. To Amarle, because the malva said, I'll give you the shtar tomorrow. I don't have it right now. Inami ifshite to safra zayarle. Or you could say they didn't rip it because
you haven't paid.
You didn't pay the whole thing.
We haven't paid.
You paid for the field, but not the fee for the scribe, and therefore he's trying to hold on to it to maintain that payment. All right, let's just read this next paragraph, and then we'll ask questions about it tomorrow. Someone who finds this star in the marketplace, even though it has on it that the Beis Din corroborated it. So you don't give it back. And of course you wouldn't if it doesn't have an hempik. Because then you could say it was never actually used. And what is the hempik? That it was corroborated, it was substantiated. lo yachzur dechashin leperan. We're worried that it's being paid off. This is against what we just said from Rav, but according to Rav Yochanan, we did not give it back. Okay, we'll talk about that in Rosh Hashanah tomorrow.